If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
What we found very quickly was that the iTunes model wasn't really working. People didn't really have the disposable income in India to just purchase songs digitally. And in fact, back then, there was an appetite to purchase. They just didn't have the means to purchase online.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. I'll be here today with my new friend, Gaurav Sharma. So Gaurav is the founder and CEO of Hook, which is a groundbreaking AI-powered platform that's transforming how fans remix and share music, while ensuring that artists actually get paid for it. He is the former COO of JioSaavn, where he helped scale India's largest music streaming platform to originally over 100 million monthly users, and it's closer to about 200 million monthly users now. And so he is a proven music tech innovator, and he helps to bridge artist creativity with industry needs. And I'm excited to connect with him today just to hear his perspective on where things are headed right now in the music industry and how, as an independent artist, you can leverage the tools that are available to actually build an authentic relationship with your fans and a sustainable business. Specifically with the rise of social media and the remixing tools that he's helped create, certainly feels like what it means to be a creator or creative is expanding because of the tools that are available. So thank you so much for taking the time to hop on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I know it was like a very like long-winded intro, but I feel like it was well-deserved.
I really appreciate that. That was way too nice, but it's great to be here.
Awesome. So maybe for anyone that this is their first time connecting with you, could you share a little bit about your background and how you helped the platform build from the beginning to 100 million plus users?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of grew up in the intersection of music and tech. I studied, it was a year after graduating that we started Saavn. I was studying computer music composition in college, engineering as well. I'm a musician, composer, and I've always been really interested, even as a kid, in figuring out how to make music in the with the least amount of effort possible, which is really bad. But like, I tried to play guitar, tried to play drums, I actually do sing, and I really loved composing, but I found myself programming a lot of the beats that I was creating and using tools like Ableton and Logic and using technology to kind of create a lot of the music that I was making. And I ended up graduating in 2010 and worked at a major record label for a total of 1 month. and got laid off. Labels were falling apart at that stage. It was kind of in the post Napster, post LimeWire, you know, labels wanting to push everyone to CD shops and keep that kind of level of monetization still there. And iTunes wasn't really getting picked up, at least globally. And I ended up meeting some really great people that were founding a company called Sovin at the time that was really just initially the mission was just to help Indian rights holders, whether it be independent artists, you know, the Bollywood companies, which were the majority of the labels, and even major labels that were out in India, like a Sony India, et cetera, just helping these businesses just digitize all of the Bollywood content, Indian content that they'd have for years, and get it onto iTunes. And that's really, so I ended up falling into kind of music streaming with Sovin. But what we found very quickly was that the iTunes model wasn't really working. People didn't really have the disposable income in India to just purchase songs digitally. And in fact, back then, there was an appetite to purchase. They just didn't have the means to purchase online. People would go into these like shops in Indian villages and buy SD cards with music preloaded on it. So it was just a really interesting market. We ended up doing a partnership with Google really early on to get all of this digitized music into Google's search in India. And we powered it, and we just found so much consumption of the music digitally. And so that became a streaming service. And this was like very much in parallel to when Spotify was also kind of like getting their first deals in place. And so we ended up working directly with the labels and signing some of the first digital streaming licenses that have kind of become the model and framework that we've worked with since then. And that was about 10 years of my life. And it was such an incredible experience. Also just being an American of Indian descent and having really not spent that much time in India when I was younger, being able to go out there, build a team. It's just one of the most incredible markets to be in. Especially for artists, where what we found even during that experience was things went from Bollywood being what Indian music was, because that was in a large way the distribution of music back then, to Sovin and YouTube and all of these digital platforms, creating a platform for like actual musicians, where the musicians are the people known. In India, a lot of these Bollywood tracks are associated with the actors that are lip syncing them. And so all of a sudden, you know, when we started Sovin, it was like 95% of our consumption was Bollywood. And by the time we sold it to Jio, and now it's Jio Sovin, it was like close to 65% Bollywood. And the rest were Indian musicians, singers, songwriters, DJs, you name it. And they had different flavors regionally. Some of them were really, really, really inspired by Western artists. So you had these really cool kind of mashup artists blooming. And I got to see the independent scene really blossom in India. And that's why I think it's such a unique market, even for the independent artists. Because if you think about it, like, all of these artists were signed to independent labels in India. And then all of a sudden the digitization of music made them just like have the same level of distribution as Bollywood. And so that was 10 years, sold that, and then started Hook. But incredible, incredible experience.
Cool. That sounds like quite the journey. And like 10 years is like, oh, you don't have that many chapters in your life that are like 10 years long. So I'm sure that cycle is.
Have you been to India?
I haven't been to India yet.
Okay. Well, if you ever go.
Bali's in India though, right? Am I remember that
yes.
correctly?
Well, no, Bali's not in India, but there are like, you know, islands similar to it around India, like Mauritius, things like that.
Okay.
But if you ever go, shoot me an email or connect with me, and I'll intro you to some really cool people on the music side out there, because it really is one of the most unique environments for music in the world, I would say.
Awesome. One of our artists, Rishi, has Indian descent, and he does like Carnatic music that blends together, some of his roots, and it's really, really cool. And he's like, really blown up in a big way on his like Instagram. If you search for Rishi, so I would love to visit at some point.
I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about. Actually, I do try to keep up with a lot of the kind of artists of Indian descent that are also kind of beginning to make noise out here or in the UK or whatever, and now are kind of there's a huge scene in Toronto and are now kind of expanding into India. And it's so funny for people like us growing up, we were kind of running away from our heritage, and now I think everyone can see this like bubbling moment happening there, and it's really cool to see people that are kind of like saying, hey, even though I didn't grow up there, I'm seeing this creativity blossom and I'm going to go see what the vibe is. It's pretty amazing.
Super cool. Awesome. So, you had this 10-year journey of helping grow this company to the number one streaming platform in India, 100 million plus users. Could you share a little bit about this? What was that transition like for you going from, that company to starting Hook? What was kind of the purpose behind this new company? What's the vision behind it? And also how long have you been building it for?
I've been building it for about 3 years now. After Savin, I was still actually working at Savin after the acquisition, but with the pandemic, I wasn't able to go out to India as often. And at the same time, I think everyone kind of builds their thinking around the experiences that they've had. And for me, Savin being 10 years, I started seeing similar signals to what we saw early on, that led us to making Savin into a streaming service. Started seeing similar signals happening on social, which is if before, because as I was saying, at Savin, it kind of, we fell into streaming. We didn't say, hey, we're going to start a streaming service because consumption habits are shifting from CDs to digital and people aren't able to pay. Like, that was not the thought process. It was realizing that there was a pattern in how certain audience, that one being Indian music listeners, were consuming music. And similarly, I think when you look at the last few years, now that if the goal of music streaming was to make music available to anyone, anywhere, I think as we've accomplished that, and now you can pretty much find any music anywhere, I think what people are doing with that music has been evolving. And that's what I'm really interested in. And that's what we're interested in at Savin. Hook, which is that shift of like, if you add up all these 30-second clips of music listening on a TikTok and an Instagram and a Snapchat, all of that consumption of music together is more listening than what you have on traditional streaming services today. And we think of music consumption as this almost passive experience where you're listening to it and you put your phone in your pocket. But what if we challenge that? And what if, music expression and consumption was something a little bit more active, where the fans and the artists are taking part in the creation? Because that's really what social media is. Like, I think in 2023, there was a study that came out that said 38% of the music on TikTok was modified and remixed. And that was prior to this whole AI boom over the last year and a half. That's really interesting. So people are consuming music, but they're staring at a screen, and the music they're consuming is that of an expression that someone else made. And almost half of that, maybe even more today, is modified. and adjusted. So we went and interviewed a bunch of kids, and my brother was in college, a junior in college at the time. So I just went to Syracuse and talked to a bunch of his classmates and was asking, you know, why are you guys posting remix versions of like a Travis Scott song or a Billie Eilish track versus the original that the artist intended? And they said, well, look, like Travis expresses me better than I can myself. And I want to express myself through him, but I also want to be unique in my expression of him. And I just think that's like a really interesting way to experience music that has grown and grown and grown, lucky for Hook. But there's no economy built around it. Artists have no say in how fans interact with their music. It's not, you know, most of these platforms, they're not consumption-based models that the more your remixes and UGC is consumed, you're making millions and millions of dollars. That's not happening, even though there's more listening happening. So that's really what we wanted to challenge in starting Hook, is to say, what if music expression wasn't a one-way street from artist to fan, but artists and fans can engage and it's active, and that opens up all these new opportunities for monetization, for getting closer to your fans. What if artists had a say in how their music could be remixed? Would their opinion of AI change? Does their opinion of AI change in the construct of short form music versus long form? Would you let your fans kind of have fun if it's 30 seconds versus a full song? If you were able to nudge fans into a certain kind of remix, like, you know, I'm about to go on tour in Latin America. Let's nudge fans into Latin American remixes. Let's see what they come up with. And maybe we'll make a full length version out of that with the winning fans. So that was really the inspiration of building it. And it's very similar to the beginning stages of music streaming for me.
Mm. Wow. That is so cool. So if I'm understanding you correctly, like really this is a platform that's meant to create a better connection between the artist and the fans, to kind of rethink how creativity happens in the form of like remixes for the people who are fans of the artist, to be able to use those songs, and for the artist to have more control, right, or the ability to nudge, you know, certain ways that the remixes happen, so that, for example, if you were going to do a tour in, you know, Latin America, you could actually make a remix challenge or do something like kind of where it's guided in that direction.
Yep. And everything is short form. We don't allow for fans to completely take your song and create a completely new version. That's a decision the artist can choose to make. And that also creates these, like, you know, physical guardrails that it's really about the fans' expression. Mm-hmm. You can add your video to it. You can share it to your TikTok. You can share it to your Instagram. So we don't necessarily need to be the, you know, social network, but we are the social creation tool whose responsibility is to the artists and tracking everything and making sure that the fans also have just like a really fun experience and get closer to their favorite artists.
Hmm. Wild. You know, one thing that came up was just thinking about how powerful it is when you have a body of work and then it's like translated into a different language. Now that like opens up this body of work to like
an actual language or like a musical language.
Well, to start with, like the metaphor is just like an actual language, kind of like opening up, you know, a movie or a book or something just to a completely different language, kind of just opens up how people can connect with it and absorb it. And it sounds like part of, what you're building with this platform is, you know, similar in the sense that, you know, when fans can kind of remix, you know, this music and they almost translate it into a way that they understand more. And definitely feels like a major opportunity or sort of like a trend that's happening right now is like more remixes. And I had this thought with AI, and this probably exists. And maybe this is like something that you've already built into the platform, but the ability for like an artist to take their creative work and then say, I want to translate this into all of the different genres. So it's the same song, but just like all of the different genres. And it seems like that'd be a way to like tap into all of these different markets at the same time with one piece of work because of that ability to remix. And
artists could choose to do that on our platform. And the other thing that an artist can do on our platform that I think is very core to our vision of product is like when you think of AI platforms that exist today, especially in the creative realm, which is this is where it like really kind of annoys me, is that and our entire team. But, you know, this idea of like prompt-based AI, make this sad, make this, you know, Bollywood, whatever that would even mean. Like to just say, make it this, make it that, and it just gives you an end product. That to me is not art. Art is when someone takes something that's a tool that was intended to create something and they break it. And people connect with that. And so like this concept of creative misuse is something that our product really leans into. So when you go on our platform, we have these things called filters. And what these were meant to be are like little nuggets of music expression that are tied to you as a person, as a creator. You can design them yourselves. Today, we design the music filters and we're working with artists, producers to design music filters. Tomorrow, you know, users are going to be able to create them themselves. And this is a concept that I think like is, in my opinion, very different from the current applications of AI that people see. Because we want people to design their own filter that completely breaks every rule. And sure, it's leveraging AI to create a remix. But if it goes against what we would have thought would have sounded really cool as a genre or whatever, and it connects with people, then that's art. And that's art through AI. And or at least where AI is a piece of it. And it's also something people can connect with and say, hey, that's my expression, as opposed to like, oh, that company has the best electronic algo and that company has the best reggaeton algo. That's like not how you build creativity or art, in my opinion. And so, yeah. That's that like artists can design filters on our platform. So not only can you say, I want to nudge people into these different genres because these are the filters that exist, but maybe there's something you want to specifically create. Or instead of people speeding up songs, you're a producer or a DJ that has your own suite of filters on hook that you're encouraging your followers to use. So now you have an entire army of people expressing through your filters and your AI expression. I don't know if that's like kind of confusing, but that's what we're building.
There's been several times as we've been talking, I'm like, man, like this sounds awesome. I can't wait to get my hands on this and like put it into use. Cool. I mean, one thing that came up as you're sharing this, just like, I think that the root of this idea of like remix culture and like, why is it so compelling or why does it feel so good to be able to express ourselves and kind of remix, you know, these songs that we already resonate with, but then to be able to kind of like infuse, you know, part of who we are, our own identity with it. And it just reminded me of one of my favorite like prompt examples that I've seen lately, people sharing is more and more in the vein of, you know, because ChatGPT like has memories of you, and it starts like the more you talk to it, the more it understands who you are. And I remember the first moment that I was like, "Who am I?" And then it like ChatGPT told me like who I am. I'm like, wow, yeah, like that's actually like wild. You know, pretty like, you know, great, you know, like bio, like immediately. And It feels like the more as it grows, the more personalized that it's gotten. And there's a lot of these like prompt examples that are like, tell me something about myself that I don't know, but I like would, but would be like really valuable. And then it'll be like, well, based on who you are, like you probably have this blind spot. I'm like, whoa, like that is wild. And it seems like what a lot of those things have in common and a lot of what you're describing right now with the platform that you're building and that you've built and that's helping, you know, fans to be able to tap into as well is sort of this this movement towards personalization and this movement towards self-expression and it being more co-creative instead of a one-sided, you know, equation. So I'd love to hear you speak a little bit to like, what do you think is at the core of that? And as like a trend, you know, if we were looking forward 3, 5, 10 years from now, like where do you see this evolving into in terms of the wider ecosystem?
Well, you just said it, evolve, right? The essence of evolution is individuality. That's how evolution works. Everyone does one thing and someone does something else and it works. And then we all evolve. That's literally what evolution is. And so what AI does for people, and this might be contrarian as someone that like built an AI company, an ethical AI company that rights holders can learn more about. But I think that what AI is going to allow for is easier ways to get to the same wavelength of everyone else around you. So you, when you're saying, who am I? It's giving you its best guess based on the data it has, which is everyone around you. When you say make this piece of art, you'll begin to notice a lot of artwork looking the same because they're all being trained from the same thing. But evolution comes down to individual and individuality, people that are willing to break it and that connection happening. And I think that like we've seen this through technology, advances in technology, throughout all of human evolution, where people are, as things get easier and easier to do, and we build more and more tools, more people conform to those tools. And then someone breaks the norm, and that becomes the next tool. And so I think that's how we're going to evolve, is by co-creating. Otherwise, everyone's going to look the same and sound the same. And if human evolution or any animal's evolution is a data point to learn from, like we'll get bored and something will change it. And so our platform's hoping to lean into that musically.
Cool. That's so interesting. I love this conversation. Evolution and how that applies to creativity and music. It reminds me of, when it comes to like remixes and just like virality and content in general, it seems like there's this, the formula. I've seen a lot of people who are smarter than I am who kind of like speak to the science of it, but that these, a lot of these viral pieces of content have an element of familiarity and they have an element of like a twist or uniqueness or breaking expectations. And it seems like remixes kind of do that really well because they have the familiarity where it's like, you know, the recognition is there, it connects to something, but then it twists it or it breaks it. It does something different. And, you know, what it reminds me of is like DNA and our parents and like how we have kids and those kids are both, you know, a reflection of you. And also like original and unique and like they have their own expression. And so I really resonate with what you're sharing with in terms of like this next era of creativity. Because it seems like it's always been that way, right? It's always been like,
It's been that. We're getting real deep. This is good. I like this concept of the kids. I'm going to use that. But I was going to say like it, everything does effectively come from a certain level of DNA. And what I do think a lot of the AI platforms that are working on original content will allow for is giving you that base level of DNA that is familiar to people. So I do think a lot of, I mean, we don't do creation of original music on Hook. at least right now, maybe in the future, but like we don't have any plans at this stage. And I'll tell you why in a second. But for the ones that do, I think it will be that. Like it'll give you guys, it'll give musicians a baseline of what a blues track is typically supposed to sound like. And then my guess is the musicians are going to go and change it. And the creatives are going to go and change it and make it their own in the same way as you're describing. The reason we decided to do remixing, sure, it's become a more cultural thing. And I thought it was really cool that the Grammys televised the Remix Award this year. That's a big sign. But actually the goal, the motivation to build Hook as being more so focused on remixing didn't as much have to do with just feeling like remix culture was growing, but more so it had to do with, if you look at like one of the things that people would challenge us on early on was that people don't care. Regular people don't care about expressing with music. Only video and text. Like that's what people have said. That's what people would say to us very early on. And I've heard about, you know, other AI CEOs being like, music, making music isn't fun, blah, blah, blah. and like my thought is music expression has existed for non-musicians literally forever, but it's just not typically original music creation. You go to a concert and people are singing the same song at like a football match. You go to a religious event 10,000 years ago, they're singing the same song together. You go on AIM 20 years ago, you're going to find my Blink-182 away message lyrics. Like music expression for regular, like non-musicians is typically through an artist. It's through something familiar. And that's kind of why we decided to go into remixing, because what we're trying to do is like help people build their confidence and feel that moment of like, damn, music expression is unique. It's unique from photo expression and film expression, writing something down. And you know that it's different. And I think that the roadmap to getting people to feel that way is enabling them to do what they've always been doing, which is expressing through music that there's a community built around. Whether they're shared fans, they're of a sport, of a song, or an artist, or like White Lotus. It's like when you find music that people have built community around, then they all express it. So that was just like, to your point of remix culture, we didn't even expect remix culture to be a thing. It was more just about how do people express with music today.
Mm. So cool. Yeah, that was beautiful. Awesome. Well, Gaurav, this has been a really fun conversation. We definitely went down some roads that I wasn't necessarily expecting, but feels like well-traveled and makes me really excited to explore using the platform more. So thank you for taking time to be on the podcast. And for anyone that's watching this right now who is like me and wants to go check out the platform and start playing around with it, what's the best favorite place for them to go to dive deeper?
Well, we're in the App Store. I would say right now our ASO is not great. If you search for Hook, it's a lot of hookup apps. But if you search for Hook Music, we're the first thing, or mashups or remix, whatever. Or you could go to hookmusic.com. And if you're someone that loves music, is involved in music composition or technology or anything, and you're interested in wanting to be part of the team, email me as well, because we're expanding and we are looking for more people in our tribe.
Awesome. Man, well, it's really cool. Yeah, I'm a fan of the ideas that you're sharing right now, and the platform sounds very cool. And in terms of just like trends as well, I feel like it's right on point in terms of where I feel things are happening right now and where they're heading. So really looking forward to playing around with the app. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Cool. And like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access. And I'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael. This is great.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and we've helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.